comes from Luke 24, 13 through 35. And I'm going to kind of read it as I go through. So let's pray. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for the opportunity to hear about the wondrous things that you have done. And we're grateful that you open our eyes. Open our eyes today as we hear this message. Open our hearts, open our minds, so that we may hear you in spite of my voice. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, astonished and astounded. There's a lot of things in this world that still astonish and astound me, right? And some of it is just by hearing or seeing or appreciating what I hear. Just like those quarter notes today, that eighth notes that were, I mean, exactly poof, 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 right together. I know how hard that is. That astounds and astonishes me. The bell ringers doing that. And I can appreciate that. But this isn't that kind of astounding or astonishing. I have a friend who is also a pastor. And he is really good at doing neat little tricks. You know, the quarter behind the ear or a card thing here and there. And that always makes me smile. And I'm astounded and I'm astonished at the sleight of hand that he can do and I don't see where he has done it. That astounds and astonishes me. Those are good astounding and astonishes, right? Then we have negative astounding and astonishes. You can turn on the television and watch the news and get those. Not so good astounding and astonishes. But the other ones, though, the ones that you can picture, you can only imagine what it was like for Cleopas. You can only imagine what it was like for the disciples when Jesus was standing among them. To be with him again. It's just like when you get to come back home, right? That feeling of comfort, that feeling of being okay. It's going to be okay. I remember last fall, after Kenny had died, my brother. And it was the same week that John had had his back surgery and just getting him up to Westbury. And going back and forth to the house a few times to get the things he needed so I could get on the road and get to the rest of my family. And just pulling into the driveway of what used to be my dad's house and now my youngest brother's house. And the smell of the air. Now, for all of some of you, that wouldn't be as comforting, but farm smells are comforting to me. Passover, the Sabbath part of Passover, is over. And so on the first day of the week, when the women had gone to prepare Jesus' body, they find that Jesus has resurrected. But not everybody has seen him, and they don't know what to think. And so in Luke, we see that while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And it helps if I'm reading the right part instead of being in the upper room. Now, that they say that the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. In fact, it's directly east, going towards the Mediterranean Sea. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up and walked with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked them, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" It's like, are you walking around with a bag over or a bucket over your head? How can you not know what's going on? "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." Remember, in the Hebrew Jewish minds, he's officially dead. That's why the third day is so important. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb, and they found it was as the women had said, about him, they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself." It's a good apologetics lesson, folks. Apologetics not meaning to apologize, but to actually to defend. It comes from the word apologia, to defend. To defend. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if they were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." And so he went in to stay with them. Now, this is important. First of all, bad things happen at night. That's when the bandits can overpower you. And if you are traveling by yourself, it could be bad for him. The people of the Middle East are very hospitable people also. They invite you in to eat. They invite you to stay. And so if you're there, they're going to invite you in to eat and stay. Stay with us. So they're going to put them up for the night. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on this road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The word of God for the people of God. Imagine, it's almost like a V8 moment, and you have to be old enough to even know what a V8 moment is, right? Or even a light bulb moment. You know, when if you're reading a cartoon, and all of a sudden, when somebody gets it, they get that light bulb. When I used to teach, I used to love to see the kids when they finally go in, if they were struggling with something, and then all of a sudden, it connected, and they got it. They got it. And yet, they didn't quite completely get it yet. They were just getting that little bit, that little taste. You know, those of us who have been Christians, maybe from the cradle, hearing about Jesus, sometimes it takes us a while to finally get that full flavor that Jesus is who he said he is. Sometimes you don't question. Sometimes you do. There are moments in people's lives, whether as a teenager, as an adult, even I've seen deathbed realizations that Jesus has died for folks and accepted Christ. These two realize that Jesus has come back and is alive. Cleopas and his companion, I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, I'll give you a week to figure it out. Cleopas and his companion have that moment. And while Jesus defended and said all these reasons why, he still didn't recognize it was him until the veil was lifted. There are things that we do, and say as people who are Christians, even in the terms and the experience of worship, where we hear the word, we hear it expanded upon, and then we enter into communion with each other, a means of grace. Grace that was given for you and for me. And it amazes and astounds me how much he loves us, to have done this for us, the world. Today, I ask you this. If somebody asked you today, what do you believe? Because they're in that process of wondering, have you not heard? Do you not understand? This past few weeks, and we're still in this season of Easter. It's more than just a day that happens once a year. And every Sunday is a mini resurrection celebration. Do you know why you believe and who you believe in? Can you defend it? Now, you wouldn't have to write a dissertation on it. The best testimonies are the lived testimonies, where you have seen Jesus in your own life. Why you believe. Yes, I give the tools, and we have the tools from the worship with the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. And those were given so people could give a small and short, succinct answer of the Trinity and why we believe what we believe. But what about going that next step? Where have you seen Jesus in your own life? Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful. And there are moments that we probably don't give enough credit to where you're moving in our lives. And if we stop and we reflect, Lord, about the blessings that we receive, and then even stop and reflect about the hardships and how we made it through to the other side, Lord, we stop and we're shocked, astounded, and astonished. Continue to do this in our lives, Lord. And may we give you the glory and always point our finger towards you, because it certainly isn't us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.